Alrighty. Well, good morning, everybody. If you have your Bibles, and you should have them, please open with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. Beginning in the 25th verse. Scripture says, "There went great multitudes with him." Stop. Great multitudes were going with Jesus. Now, he had forgiven the adulterous woman, and they loved him. And he rebuked the Pharisees, and they loved him. And he fed them with loaves of bread and fishes, and they loved him. And he healed and delivered and raised people from the dead and opened blind eyes, and they loved him. So they followed him. Very popular guy. When you're saying and doing things that everybody likes to hear, you gather a lot of crowds. And he had a great multitude at this point that the scripture is telling of people going with him. And I always marveled about Jesus, how opposite he is from like a church builder. You know, church builders are trying to put up big numbers. You're trying to get the seats filled. You're trying to build a big ministry and a big, a base where people are tithing in and the ministry sustains itself. And then you can provide all of these services and different programs in the church. And that's what the ambition of the church builder is. But Jesus doesn't seem to share that ambition, really. I mean, is it that he's not interested in souls? Of course it isn't. Nobody was more interested in souls than Jesus. He spread his arms and was nailed to a cross and gave his life for sinners to come and to be reconciled back to God again. So we know that he has the greatest interest in people coming to Christ. Right? So great multitudes are following. You would think that would be great news, but something is not right. And we see that because Jesus does this, what I'm going to show you, the scripture says, he does this over and over throughout the historical accounts of what took place during the time of Jesus' ministry on earth. He turned to them and says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Now, this is pretty tough, pretty stringent, pretty strict message. You would think that if he wanted to keep the multitudes around him, all he would have to do would be lighten up a little. But that's not the way God is. He turns around and begins to tell them, hey, this is not all about rebuking Pharisees and getting fed bread and, you know, getting supplied all your needs and jumping up and down and when people are getting healed. It's not all that. But if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to, like, really put up or shut up or turn back. Because here he says it's going to have to be the most important relationship in your life. Look at these people that he says that he says whose relationships you will cause to be in jeopardy if you are his disciple. Their father and mother, wife and children. And I presume if you were talking to man, you would say wife. And if you're talking to women, it would be husband. So spouse, right? And children. And brethren, brothers, and sisters. And he throws in there your own life also. Because many of us are perfectly well adept at hating our mother and father and wife and husband and brothers and sisters and children. Okay, so it's not enough for you to say, oh, I got this covered because I hate my whole family. Okay, because that's the convenience level is out. Generally, if you hate your whole family, it's because you love yourself the most. So he throws this in there and your own life besides just to make sure you got it all covered. You know, today the big hue and cry is that, you know, you should trust in yourself and love yourself and have a great self-image and build up your self-esteem. That's what it's all about. But Jesus says, even this is in jeopardy if you're going to be my disciple. Well, this must have been falling like a wet blanket on this rejoicing crowd of followers. But he didn't stop there either. He says, "Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Now, that's even further. What does that mean, to bear the cross? Well, we have an expression in English, you know, "that's the cross I bear." Is like, whatever it costs you. You know, in other nations and throughout Asia, when somebody becomes a Christian, boy, they really, really come up against some heavy persecution. Their family dislikes them, and oftentimes they have no more a place to live or any place where they're accepted, and they're hunted often by their religions and the organized temple groups and such that are there that they once were a part of in order to bring them, quote, back into the fold again. And so there's at times great and immense persecution to the believer who decides to be a disciple. That's the cross you bear. Even unto death, there is no turning back. So think about what he says now. Okay, the greatest relationship in your life is going to have to be with God. And if you endure and suffer persecution over that relationship, you're going to have to be prepared to continue with him till even unto death. These are very, very heavy responsibilities. Now, this is to the multitudes that are following him.